www.thebigradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PWP Radio episode number 19. We are back. It's a new year. It's a new day for the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse here on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check us out everywhere. We've got tons of things to talk about tonight. This is our 2013 year preview. 2012 is in the past. It's long gone, and we're moving right along with 2013 right here on PWP Radio. First of all, I want you to join us on every single social network media that we have. We've got Twitter at PW Powerhouse, Facebook, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Please visit our Amazon store and support the show any way you can. And definitely check out PWP TV on YouTube at youtube.com/PW Powerhouse TV. And tonight we had a lot to talk about. Monday Night Raw was very exciting last night. Very fun episode. We're going to be on tonight for 90 minutes. We got some big guests for the future, but I got to slow down. I'm just really excited. And I'm going to bring in my co-host right now, Mr. TLD. What's going on, TLD? Oh, I got to hit the theme song.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm Curry. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
TLD, how you doing, man?
Oh, my God. You know, I was trying to get on this phone. I was afraid I was going to be late. But I am not late. I am on time. And TLD TV is officially begun tonight. How you doing, Mr. J?
I'm hanging in there, man. 2012 is in the past. We're going right ahead 2013. Big episode of Raw last night. We're going to get into Raw talk in just a bit. But before we do that, I just got a little bit of something to get off my chest right here.
Oh, no. Here we go.
It's just a little bit of a rant.
Is it about Zack Ryder?
This is about what I've been up to lately. And I've been writing a lot lately. You know, that's what ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is all about. It's about the editorials, the articles, the reviews that our great staff does on a weekly basis. We've got a lot of writers. We're expanding by the day. I'm getting applications in my email box all the time. The sky is the limit right now, folks. But anyway, I've been writing a little bit for Bleacher Report. I'm trying to get the good word out there. I'm trying to get ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com to a bigger, broader audience, and that's why I write for Bleacher Report. I'm not a big fan of the site. I don't love it. I don't really enjoy all the bullshit that goes on. Excuse me for my language. I'm trying not to curse, but I don't really like all the stuff that goes on there at Bleacher Report. There are guys that are called featured columnists. I myself am one of them, but they don't really write columns. They're not really like article writers. They don't use any kind of creativity. And that brings me to, I'm not going to name names because that's not what I do, but I've had a little bit of a beef with these guys from a certain radio show out there. And, you know, I criticize them
a
little bit. Huh?
Just say who they are.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to give them the time of day because I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. I'm not going to say who they are. But
You know who you are.
Yeah, you know who you are. You're out there. But I don't mind one of the guys. One of the guys is pretty cool and everything. And I made a comment on one of their posts, and, you know, it got me thinking. What they're doing is they're promoting their show basically to the umpth degree on a Bleacher Report. They just promote the living hell out of their radio show. So I thought to myself, well, if these guys can do it and get away with it, I'm going to do the same exact thing, and I'm going to do it better than them, and that's exactly what I've done. So, haha, mother effers.
Whoa, it's a PG-13 show, sir.
It's actually true.
In a PG-13 show, you can say the F word one time, so you're okay.
I'm okay. But, you know, Bleacher Report, it kind of drives me a little nuts, Will, and this is why. I can write an article, and I can get, just throw a ballpark out, 15,000 reads or views or clicks or whatever. But the minority of people that actually read the article is unbelievable. Nobody actually reads the article. They look at the headline, and they scroll down and make a comment, Most of the time, the comments aren't that smart because they don't actually read what goes on within the context of the article, so they really don't know exactly what my stance is on certain subjects. I try to be creative. I try to throw, you know, outside-the-box ideas out there, and I don't mind negative criticism. You know, if I get criticized negatively, that means I'm doing something right. That means I'm out there and I'm doing what I do, and I'm trying to get the good word about PWP Radio out and about. And that's what 2013 is all about, growing the show, not worrying about what these other morons do with their own show, but we're just going to keep providing great content. We've expanded. We've got now 3 live shows per week. We've got Oh You Didn't Know tomorrow, which, by the way, congratulations to Seth. He got some big coverage with his interview last Sunday with the Blossom Twins, who are part of TNA's British Boot Camp. They were on a whole bunch of the story was on a bunch of websites, these news dirt sheet websites that I love so much. And we're getting some exposure. And also, we've got the Spoilers radio show featuring a report. It doesn't really involve spoilers. It's just a catchy name. But that's every Thursday at 5:30. And they've got a fan following as it is. And they've jumped ship here to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. And I'm happy for that. And we're going to keep expanding. We're going to keep providing you, the listener, with fresh, new content all year long. So I'm going to bring my other co-host right now.
I'm excited. I don't know about you. I'm excited. I'm
pretty pumped, TLD. This is going to be a great year for PWP, but let's bring in John. John, what's going on, man?
Who?
My man, John. What's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, I thought this was John. Who do I got?
Nope.
Who's on the air with me now?
This is Toph.
Oh, Toph, man, what's going on, dude? You know what? I got to tell you why I don't have your... I have this little office.
I'm sorry.
And it had to get pulled apart completely this week. And I had this sheet of all the phone numbers that of people that call in regularly. And this sheet has gone missing. So I didn't recognize your number. I'm sorry about that. How's it going tonight, my man?
No, it's fine. I actually have a free Tuesday. I just figured I'd call in and talk wrestling.
Well, thanks a lot, man. And I know I was just talking to you on your page on the Pro Wrestling Zone, which has a big reach. You guys got over like 12,000 likes on Facebook. And I was talking to you about something.
No, you know, I don't really care too much about likes. A lot of people out there in the wrestling page community, it's like when they get a certain amount of likes on their pages, they feel like they're above smaller pages and they shouldn't have to help. But, you know, I don't feel that way. I like to help out and promote for a lot of pages. I like PWP. You guys got a growing community. I mean, you just hit 600 plus likes on your page and got a lot of fans going on. I don't mind contributing. So, yeah,
well,
no problem.
And you could call it we all the time because that's what this is about. It's not just about me. I kind of steamhead this thing, but TLD puts in his work. I mean,
yeah, I'm just giving you credit because, you know, it is your creation after all, right?
But I like to do this as a team effort. Everybody who puts into this thing, I like to give credit where credit's due. You know, in 2012, in the tail end there, you know, Steph stepped up big. John, podcast. MJ from PWZ, he helped me out too. All the writers, you know, Deron Browning. All these guys have just been so good. I know I'm missing some names because I'm just rattling them off the top of my head, but everybody's just been so great, and I appreciate that. And 2013 is going to grow this thing even bigger, guaranteed. But I just wanted to start off on this, man. I wanted to talk to you about the little post that we just discussed a little bit. You kind of think that there might be another, there might be a big movement of talent from WWE to TNA at some point. Shed a little light on what your train of thought was on this.
Not necessarily a jump from WWE to TNA, but I could definitely see a repeat of the Radicals. I could definitely see a group of talents that's kind of in the category of lower mid-card or kind of people that do the dark matches. I could definitely see a group of guys that have just really been underutilized and just leave. Not necessarily go to TNA, but just leave, go elsewhere. Your JTGs, your Zack Ryders, just guys like that. I can definitely see that in the future, but that's only if things continue to go where they're going. for a longer period of time because, you know, the Guerreros, the Benoits, the Malenkos, I mean, they were in the same spot for a long time. I mean, in the late 90s, if you really weren't with the, if you weren't with the NWO, I mean, you pretty much had nothing going for you. So, but, you know, WWE has so many shows, though. I mean, they have SmackDown, they have Main Event, they have NXT, Superstars, Saturday Morning Slam. So, I mean, there's more time on WWE to get some type of, you know, exposure. It's just a little hunch I've been feeling for a while.
You might be right about a guy like Zack Ryder. He's it's very interesting that you mentioned his name because just today he popped up a tweet about how last night on Raw, which we're going to talk about in 2 seconds, last night on Raw they showed a list of the top Twitter followers, the superstars in WWE. It was like The Rock, Cena, CM Punk, Randy Orton, The Miz. But they didn't include Zack Ryder, who should be about like third or fourth on that list, and you can kind of see if you follow him on Twitter that he is airing his grievances publicly. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. TLD, what's your thought on Zack Ryder airing these grievances publicly?
You know, he does have a gripe, I'm sure, that, you know, that he kind of forgets about him, you know, but, you know, it's hard to say, you know, it's all about marketing. Is he, you know, do people really think Zack Ryder is a marketable character? You know, can his gimmick, you know, really get over with fans? Because when it went over, it kind of fizzled off. Now, is that really Zack's fault or is that writing or booking? You know, it's a lot of different things. It's really hard to say because he is definitely, you know, talented, and he's t-shirts and his marketing. I mean, we were in New York. You saw how over he was, you know, and it was great for him. And it's a shame that he's not getting what he wants. And, you know, he's the reason why they're on YouTube. He's the reason why they're on Twitter and Tao and all those great shows, you know, because of his input, you know. So I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't think going to TNA is going to help him. I can tell you that. I definitely don't see that helping him at all.
Well,
because no one's going to watch TNA no one's going to tune over and go to TNA to watch Zack Ryder. I'm sorry, they're not.
Well, nobody's
not
tuned over to TNA.
He has
to watch
a 90-day no complete clause, which people will forget about him in 3 months. People forget about things in 3 months now. You know, it's not like that anymore. You know, it's not an NWO. There's no NWO. You know, it's just you know, stand out, and right now he's just not standing out.
Yeah, we're dealing with a completely different time period in the wrestling business.
Yeah, this is not a radical error. You know, this is not people that get he's underutilized, but so is everybody else in like TNA and other spots. You know, so what's the difference here or TNA or New Japan Pro Wrestling or anywhere else?
Yeah, because those guys in the TNA roster, you know, the Bobby Roods of the world, you can tell just by watching them compete that they are just bound to be a future WWE superstar. That should be their goal. That should be what they want to do, is just, you know, get to that big stage of WrestleMania. Whether that's the truth or not, I don't know. I haven't sat down to talk with these guys. But, Toph, what do you think about Zack Ryder and airing these grievances publicly? You think it's smart on his part?
No.
I'm not really sure. It definitely puts him in a doghouse. One thing my mom used to always tell me, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. Just take it. I remember there was a tweet sometime in mid-2012. This was like sometime in August or September. Ezekiel Jackson, you guys remember him? He actually left a tweet. Someone tweeted him like, you know, he hasn't been on TV in a long time, and they asked him if he was frustrated, and Ezekiel Jackson just said that he was just waiting his turn, and he had confidence in WWE's ability to use him correctly, and we'll just agree, disagree there. But I don't know if Ryder should definitely, if he wants to air his grievances, I'm fine with that. But I don't think he should just do it every week. It just seems like he's overkill. Like he did a tweet, like I think a day or two after New Year's Eve, where he said he didn't bother watching the ball drop because WWE dropped the ball with him. And I'm like, okay, well.
I thought that was funny. I thought that was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. But after a tweet like that, in my opinion, you don't really got to air any more grievances. I mean, I agree with them. They did drop the ball off them. That's really all you got to say. I think that, I don't know. I think what confused me the most about Zack Ryder, if you guys remember, like, way back the last draft the WWE had, like, back in 2011, right before Edge retired, was, I think, what was his tag team partner's name? Kurt Hawkins? That dude?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember he got drafted to Raw. And he had like a match on Superstars against somebody, and Zack Ryder was there, and it was like a tease. They had Ryder and Hawkins, and it was like the first time they were on TV, and like really since the days on SmackDown, since La Familia with the Edge Taker feud, and they hugged, and the crowd popped for it pretty hard. And I know it was Superstars, and not everybody watches that show, but I thought that that was where the direction they were going in. I thought they were going to put them in a tag team, and they were just going to do something, but it was just a one-off thing, and Ryder's just kind of been drifting ever since. He's got talent. I mean, he's over. I enjoyed his work in ECW. Yes, I actually watched the show, you know, the WWE's version of it. And he's definitely a better worker than what WWE allows in the show. And I think he's a marketable guy. I definitely think he's over with the kids. I mean, he gets a reaction every time he comes out, even if his matches are like, you know, 2 minutes or something. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. And like you said, TLD, they dropped the ball on his push a little bit. There's a lot of rumors and speculation out there that his push began to really end at Survivor Series 2011 when he came out with a different hair color, of all things. You know, he came out
I was not a big deal. I don't even understand why people like were all on that.
Well, it's a marketing thing. I mean, WWE produces, and I get it from like a marketing standpoint, from a management standpoint, that if you produce say $1 million worth of Zack Ryder merchandise where he's got brown hair. I mean, hell, they even produced the hair. You could buy that hair and it was brown. And then he shows up at one of your biggest pay-per-views of the year in Madison Square Garden where you're going to sell a ton of his merchandise with blonde hair. You know, not everybody are like diehard wrestling fans like you and I are, where we get what's going on behind the scenes and stuff like that for the most part. It's like these mothers who with the small children and stuff, they want what he looks like at that moment. So, you know, that could have really, really done him in. Something small like that for a relative, I guess, a young guy in the business with all these veterans around him, with Vince McMahon, who everybody knows can be kind of a hard-headed douchebag at times. It's conceivable that that could have been the beginning of the end of his push. But let's
well, what about up. Just the fact that he's going online and just talking crap about, you know, the WWE? You think people want to put that kind of negativity on television? I mean,
well,
you gotta understand, Zack Ryder's gonna take a lot of blame on himself. You know, I understand if you're frustrated. Like, I'm frustrated at times when I wasn't happy about things going in my direction in wrestling and stuff like that. And when I grieved about it one time, you know, that's where I saw the politics of wrestling come at me. And you know, that's what I know now to keep my mouth shut, because now I learned. When I, even though I air my issues or problems with a wrestling company, which I did do at one point, you know, I got, and you know, I almost lost a friendship because of it. So it is a big deal, you know, to do that.
Yeah, I get it, but it seems like the timeline kind of was set up where, you know, Survivor Series 2011 came. They had this plan to put the strap on him. It was the United States title, and pretty much he won the belt the next month. And then almost immediately after that, he got buried beyond belief, and I don't think that's coincidence. You know, they put him – he was basically playing Brutus Beefcake to John Cena's Hulk Hogan for a while there, and just getting ass-kicked by Kane every single week, and, you know, buried by Eve and buried at WrestleMania. And it just was like – just kind of went on and on and on, and he hasn't recovered from it since. So, you know, what the future holds for him is up in the air. We don't know, but it wouldn't shock me if we really don't see a lot of Zack Ryder – on major WWE television that much anymore, because, you know, like you said before, Toph, we got Main Event, we got Saturday Morning Slam. He'll probably be on those shows a little more, not on Raw. But speaking of Raw, and last night we had a pretty good Monday Night Raw, I thought, and next week should be even better. But what happened at the end of Raw? We had a big-time confrontation with The Rock and CM Punk. We're just going to kick to this topic right out of the gate. TLD, what were your thoughts on the big confrontation between CM Punk and The Rock last night on Raw?
You know, I was very happy to see the conversation between those two guys. I think they threw some nice jabs at each other. And, you know, the one thing I hate about it is that a lot of people are, what they're basically saying is, who won? You know, is it The Rock? Is it, you know, I just don't understand why people are asking who won. I mean, at the end of the day, we won as fans. That's who won, you know, and people are like, who I don't care if The Rock or I don't care if it's CM Punk. I think they both tell a great story. It's a they've sold the pay-per-view. It's already sold out. People are going to order it. I think it's a very – it's a new match. It's a fresh new match. You know, other than John Cena and The Rock, this is the next fresh match that we have, and I'm really looking forward to it. You know, and I would not be surprised if CM Punk keeps the title. I think last night I'm getting this feeling in my stomach that he's going to walk out the champion. You know, and the one line that I like the most about it is that he said that your arms are too short to reach for God. I thought that was a tremendous comment that he came back with after all the Rock talking. That alone sold me on him, CM Punk, as a legit contender against the Rock.
Your arms are too short to box with God. I think I heard that in a rap song by Nas one time a while back. But what were your thoughts on that? Did you see the promo, first of all?
Yeah, I saw the promo. I watched Raw.
What were your thoughts of it?
I'm actually not really too invested in this story. I'm in the minority here. I'm not hating against it. I really don't care for it. I'm not really into it. But as far as the actual promo itself goes, it was fine. It did its job, and I think that fans that do enjoy it, fans that are into this storyline, they shouldn't be arguing about who won, Punk won, Rock won. They should just kind of just be enjoying it. Punk Rock is a dream match anyway, and just hearing Punk and Rock in the same sentence just sounds strange. It's like a clashing of generations. I think it's kind of like a repeat of Rock Cena, when Cena kept on verbally owning Rock in the promos. And I think a lot of fans don't realize, well, if Rock just went out there and just did what he did like back in the old days, you know, he would make Cena his, well, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to get in trouble, but if The Rock would just go out there and just did what he did back in the old days, you know, Cena would just look weak in comparison. So by allowing his opponent to seem superior, it gives you a suspense of belief that Punk could possibly win, you know? So if Rock just goes out there and if he just owns Punk, like we all know he can if he wanted to, then no one would care because, you know, like Lesnar and Triple H, the build-up was horrible. The match itself and the pay-per-view buy rates were good, but the build-up just wasn't that great. And, you know, I just think that fans should just enjoy it and just, you know, be happy you get to see the match. But as far as the actual feud itself goes, I'm really not into it, to be honest. I don't really care who wins.
Well, it's what you basically, the bottom line of what you're saying is it's fun. It's a fun storyline for wrestling
fans. It's a dream match. Yeah.
It's a dream match. Exactly. And that's
a dream match. Yeah. I never ever debate seriously about a dream match. A dream match, like, I don't care who wins or loses. You're just enjoy the fact that it's happening.
Exactly. You got a great point there. I just want to tell everybody who's listening, if you would like to call in and get your voice heard about CM Punk against The Rock at the Royal Rumble, please call 760-888-5749 at any point throughout the broadcast. Once again, 760-888-5749. We're taking your calls all night long here on PWP Radio. We got over an hour left in the broadcast, so we got a lot to talk about. But I'm going to weigh in on my thoughts with The Rock and CM Punk. I thought this was an awesome, awesome moment. I enjoyed it. It was towards the end of that promo when it started to get really heated, because the beginning was a little bit lighthearted. I kind of liked how CM Punk set it up. He talked about pipe bomb and all that stuff. Made some valid points about, you know, Daniel Bryan, Tyson Kidd, Brodus Clay, and really set the stage for The Rock to come out and finish it off. Was all that time necessary? Not really. I don't think they should have stretched it out that long. But when you got The Rock, you know there's going to be about a 15-minute overrun anyway. So I thought they started. This was the true start to the build for the match. You know, when it happened almost immediately after CM Punk was done defending his WWE Championship. And I was doing a little bit of homework last night on this. And I was looking at how many days Punk has been champion. And it's now 415 days. And if you get all the way to WrestleMania 29, he will eclipse the 500-day mark. And that is the reason I believe he will retain against The Rock, and they will set up a different match for The Rock at WrestleMania. I don't know if I'm going to stick with my prediction that I've been saying for months, that Brock Lesnar will make his return at the Royal Rumble out of the blue and just destroy The Rock while the ref's down. I really want the match to be no DQ, first of all. But second of all, if Brock Lesnar comes back, destroys The Rock, Then you set the stage for another huge match at WrestleMania, and you get CM Punk and The Rock away from each other on this build. Now, whether the feud continues into Elimination Chamber, we're going to have to wait and see, because The Rock confirmed for that show. So, I mean, it just seems like the build is going in the right direction for what's going to take place at Royal Rumble. And that leads me to next week, guys, where Raw 20th anniversary is taking place. And the rumored big name to be on the show is Stone Cold Steve Austin, who has had this, you know, budding little rivalry with CM Punk back and forth on Twitter. And in that WWE 13 promo they did with Jim Ross, a really heated video they had against each other. And he might be on the show. And we all know his history with The Rock. TLZ, if Austin is on Raw next week, do you think they will throw Austin into the middle of this feud with CM Punk and The Rock for one night only?
I think they will do a one night only thing. I think it's a marketable thing. It's about ratings, ladies and gentlemen, and I think that's what they're gonna try to aim for, is get that rating up. If Austin is willing to be involved in the storyline and try to help build it, why not? You know, I think it'll help. I don't know what for those who are thinking Stone Cold is gonna wrestle, I just don't see that. I just don't see that happening. They would have filled that
year.
Up already. Not this year, but
yeah,
you know,
maybe next
it
year.
Depends. It's all on Austin. Austin doesn't have to wrestle. You know, he doesn't have to do anything. You know, he's already done everything he needed to do. You know, if he's willing to try to help out in WWE to get back up into, like, you know, a fun, you know, interesting era again, he can help us. He can definitely use Stone Cold. You know, if he's healthy enough and he wants to do it, why not let him do it? But right now, I think we have enough key players to make WrestleMania already a strong, strong card.
I think, if anything, they continue to plant the seeds for next year. So I think, you know, maybe the Rock beyond WrestleMania next year. Maybe it'll be Austin's definitive final match against CM Punk. Because, hell, if you can give John Cena and The Rock a year build-up, and they have, like, a little feud brewing for a few years there through, like, the different media platforms. But if you can give that 1 year, you sure as hell can give Stone Cold CM Punk a year. No doubt about it.
You know, my whole problem with that, though, is that look who they are. Like, it's, you know, you look at John Cena, you look at The Rock. These guys are their Hulk Hogan's, The Rock's, their Stone Cold's of their era. CM Punk is not at that level of them, and you have to admit that he's not. You know, he went to Madison Square Garden last year and they couldn't even let him in the building. I mean, if that's the case, you know, that's a pretty bad thing. CM Punk's got to stand out. He needs something. He's missing something, because, you know, regular people on the street don't know who he is, and he needs to get that recognition going. For John Cena and The Rock, they have that recognition, and you know, that's what they need to do, and they got to really build CM Punk up as character, and he's got to get to that Roddy Piper status, like, at WrestleMania 1. That's what they got to get him up to. That's going to be tough.
A lot of it is just being a product of today's wrestling environment, I think, because there's not as many eyes on the product to really... If there was more fans watching CM Punk in this historic title reign, I think that more people would be into him, and he'd have more mainstream notoriety. But at this point, I think he's doing pretty damn good. I mean, if he hits that 500-day mark and has a huge match at WrestleMania, that might elevate him to that status that you're talking about. But, Toph, what are your thoughts about what's going to take place next week? Do you think there's going to be Steve Austin involved with this feud? I think it's definitely going to happen, but what do you think?
Oh, it's really nice to see Steve coming back. A lot of fans were disappointed that he missed Raw 1000, but he had his little leg surgery thing, and from what I understand, he didn't want to be on camera with that. He wanted to, you know, walk on his own 2 feet, and I can respect that. So it'll be cool to see Austin again. I think, if anything, it'll probably just be planting the seeds, like you said. I definitely see him working at Mania 30, and then that'll probably be his last match. I agree with you there. It'll probably plant the seeds, and I could see them building Punk Austin for a year. But I also agree as well about Punk not really being as big as a Cena or as a Hogan. When I think of Punk and comparing, I think of kind of like a Bret Hart almost, but not as big as Bret, but sort of. I mean, he is missing something.
I would say $1 million man. I go $1 million man on that one.
Yeah. I think what would really help is if they finally debuted that new title. Because if they debuted a new title for CM Punk, then people will recognize it. Like, as his belt. And when you introduce a new title, that's a lot of media publicity and stuff, and that would really, really help, in my opinion. That's just – but as far as the Rumble goes, though, one thing I forgot to mention earlier about – there is one advantage that CM Punk has. There's actually been a long time since we've seen a title change at the Rumble. The last time that happened was, I think, 2009. That was Jeff Hardy against Edge. That was the last time the title changed hands at the Royal Rumble. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. The Royal Rumble doesn't really have a big history of the title changing hands. I mean, you look back in Royal Rumble history, Triple H versus Cactus Jack, we all know what happened there. The Rock and Chris Jericho had a big match. Jericho retained. There hasn't been a lot of title changes. That's a very good point. Sometimes titles do change at the Elimination Chamber or No Way Out or whatever they call it nowadays. But if there is going to be a title change, if CM Punk gets through the Royal Rumble, I think you can bet your bottom dollar that he gets through Elimination Chamber. And, you know, that's just the bottom line there, because they really want to get that 500-day mark. If you get him to 500 days, you have a storyline right there. You have a big celebration with Paul Heyman, and it becomes even more historic than anybody could have ever imagined. Who he's going to wrestle at WrestleMania is obviously still up in the air. Nobody knows for sure, but it turns out WWE has apparently their first four, their big four matches already booked and ready to go, whatever the dirt sheets are reporting. I don't even know. But on the CM Punk kind of news wire last night, there was a big match with him and Ryback, TLC match, and I thought that Ryback impressed me with, you know, his cardiovascular, some of the spots he was able to pull off. You know, they had a – I thought it was a very, very good match. TLD, what did you think about TLC last night?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a really great match. I think, again, Ryback proving that he is ready to go, you know, as far as a main event status. I think, you know, again, a very clever ending. I thought it did protect him. You know, I know they have to do that right now because they can't give him a big win on CM Punk. They really can't have him lose. But I think of the Royal Rumble, like Jay, I told you, I think he's going to be a big-time player in that Rumble. I think he's going to go through guys in that Rumble. Even if he doesn't win and he eliminates, like, more people than Kane, you know, which I could see happening, you know, I think that'll put him up there. I think he's not done. Right now, he can't be in the main event picture, but he can be a main event player in the Rumble.
Yeah, I wrote an article about that, actually, just last week.
Good,
about
Jay.
What if Ryback breaks Kane's record for eliminations in a single Rumble. And I posted it on the Bleacher Report website. And let me tell you what, the feedback I got was unbelievably negative. Nobody wants to see Ryback do it. Everybody thinks Kane deserves that record because he doesn't have much. I mean, he never won the Royal Rumble. He hasn't really been in a WrestleMania main event. So they think he deserves that. But little do people know, if he eliminates just three guys this year, Kane becomes the leader in eliminations in Royal Rumble history. So, yeah, Ryback did a great job, man. I got to give him credit where credit's due. We're going to take our first caller tonight. 860 area code, 860. You're on the air with PWP Radio. What's your name? Where are you from?
Nate from Connecticut.
Nate, what's going on, my man? How you doing tonight?
How's it going? I was in your chat room just talking.
Oh, you're from Inside Wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on? Yeah, Nate's a host of Inside Wrestling right here on Blog Talk Radio. Definitely go check out his show. Nate, what's going on tonight, man?
Yeah, I was just thinking about CM Punk, you know, painting a picture after the Elimination Chamber. He gets out next night on Raw. You know, Punk shoots a promo. I'm the best in the world. No one can beat me. Hit the lights. Undertaker comes out. Streak versus streak. I mean, I think they got to do that. I think it'll be a home run.
I think that's the way to go as well. I've predicted that. I've gone on record as saying that CM Punk versus The Undertaker is the way to go. Although, once again, I wrote an article yesterday to kind of poke at the IWC a little bit, and I gave John's idea, who hasn't joined us yet tonight on the show, but I gave John's idea a little bit of notoriety by saying, hey, what if it's going to be The Undertaker against a young up-and-coming guy like Roman Reigns of The Shield or something along those lines? And the IWC, the people on the Bleacher Report community, were not happy with me for even presenting that idea. Most of them want to see The Undertaker have this big legendary match once again, like he's had with Triple H and Shawn Michaels in the past couple of years. But yeah, man, I got to agree with you. I think a match with CM Punk and The Undertaker, streak for streak, is the way to go at WrestleMania. It remains to be seen what the plan is, but I think that's a good way to go. Got anything else tonight for us, Nate?
Yeah, what about the thing I was talking about, the Royal Rumble? Maybe, you know, you can have the Shield come out and cost the Rock the title. I mean, it's predictable. But what about, like, these promos? Maybe the Rock, you know, rubs it in Cena, how he beat him and stuff, and then Cena costs the Rock at the Royal Rumble. And then whoever's number 30, the Rock just gives him a rock bottom in the back room. Rock comes out and throws Cena's bitch ass out of the ring. And then Ryback gets the win. I mean, I don't know. Just the build-ups for Cena and Rock, too.
You know what, man? I love the creativity. I love it. But I just don't think the Rock and Cena are gonna fight again. I really think that WWE is going to stick to their once-in-a-lifetime tag for that match. I really do, and I hope they do. Because, you know, as big as the match drew, it drew a lot of fans. A lot of people watched that match live, including me and probably everybody I'm talking to right now and everybody in the chat room. I think the majority of us watched it live. And I know what your stance is on it, Toph, but I enjoyed it. It was what it was. It was like a match, like you said. It was once in a lifetime, and they should keep it that way. And
I mean, I'd rather see Brock Lesnar fight The Rock.
I personally think that's a safe bet because you can put The Rock over again and bury Lesnar on his way out because I really don't see him coming back for another year after this one. For some reason, I think he'll probably be able to make money or go back to the UFC and have one more big blow-off fight or something. I think Lesnar's going to do WrestleMania 29 and then bounce for a while, in all honesty.
Yeah, because I don't really want to see Triple H and Lesnar again. I mean, I was even suggesting on my show maybe have Cena and Triple H team up to go against the Shield or something. Two members of the Shield.
Tag team match with those big names. I don't think a tag team match is going to happen. I think I personally believe that the Shield is going to be have like a tag match. You know, some kind of like 8-man or 6-man tag, and it's probably going to be about 5 minutes long, most likely. But I think that all those major players are going to have singles matches at WrestleMania. But hey, it remains to be seen. I really don't want to see Brock Triple H again. I'm with you on that one, my man. But thanks for calling, Nate. I appreciate it.
Yeah, take care. Have a nice week.
You too, brother.
Yep.
So Nate brought up some interesting points. He's got a theory that he thinks that, you know, Cena might somehow get involved in this feud with The Rock and CM Punk, maybe leading to a match, another Cena versus Rock match at WrestleMania. Toph, man, you watched that match last year, and I kind of remember you saying you were bored with it. You didn't like it a lot. What would you think if they decided to book that match again?
At one point, I thought that was the plan. I mean, before, I remember when they did the Mania conference for when they announced the date for Mania 29, The Rock was cutting promos on Twitter saying that he was open to doing a rematch with John Cena, and John Cena accepted it on Twitter. And at the time, I didn't take it seriously because it was on Twitter, but in wrestling today, a lot of stuff is built on Twitter. So I don't know if it's just you take it for a grain of salt or not, but I think my worst fear, or everyone's worst fear, is Rock beating CM Punk, Cena winning Rumble, and Rock Cena 2, because it's like, what can you really do to make it bigger than for a title? And, you know, I just have no interest in seeing a rematch. I didn't like the first match at all. I didn't think they had any good chemistry. But, I hope that they do not do that, and, you know.
Yeah, man, I hope so, too. I mean, I don't want to see any matches I've already seen at WrestleMania. Well, you know, within the realm of, like, a year or whatever. Like, I don't want to see.
I have a good idea for Ryback, though.
Let's hear it. Shoot.
See, I'm more of an old-school thinker. One of my favorite matches is WrestleMania 13, the Chicago street fight. Do you remember? I believe it was Legion of Doom, Ahmed Johnson against the Nation of Domination. You remember that?
Yeah, I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, it's kind of an underrated classic because they had the unfortunate privilege of following Hart Austin, and you can't really follow that. But it was a very good street fight. It was a good 6-man tag or a street fight, and I do think that 6-man tags or street fights, they can work at a Mania. So what I would do is I would have Ryback show up at the Rumble, have him dominate people, and then have the Shield show up and screw him over once again so he doesn't win. Ryback progresses to the Elimination Chamber, but once again, the Shield screws him over. And then during the weeks building up to Mania, it's like, you know, the numbers game always plays a part on Ryback. And so Ryback gets the help of two individuals, and we have a 6-man tag with the Shield against Ryback and two mystery opponents. And whoever those opponents are, I mean, it really varies. I mean, it could be, you could get Orton and Sheamus to do it. Depending on what you do with Ziggler, you could get guys like Mark Henry, or wherever he's going, if he was to come back. You could get Christian, wherever he is, to come back. Just two upper-tier guys with Ryback against the Shield and some type of crazy stipulation six-man match. I think that's what Mania needs. Mania needs those really solid, strong mid-card matches. They don't have that anymore. It would be really cool if they had that.
Yeah, it hasn't happened in a number of years. I get what you're saying. I mean, they kind of just had like a big weapons match, you know, with Ryback and Team Hell No against the Shield. But for some reason, man, and I love the creativity in your idea, I just see Ryback having a big match on the card with the Big Show. You know, it's not going to be a pretty match. It's going to be hard-hitting. But my prediction is, and I've gone on record with this, that Ryback's going to win the Royal Rumble, and he's going to go on to fight the Big Show at WrestleMania, or somehow Ryback gets screwed, like you said. You know, Elimination Chamber comes. You know, maybe his issue with the Big Show starts then. But I really think they want to have this big, major WrestleMania moment for Ryback and have him, like, attempt a shell shock on the Big Show. And, you know, hopefully he can do it. Hopefully it works. You know, I think he can do it if he practices enough. A lot of people have told me I'm crazy, but I think it is definitely a possibility, and I think it can be done. TLD, I haven't heard from you in a while. What's your thoughts on like Ryback and what's going to happen with him heading into WrestleMania 29 and the Royal Rumble for that matter?
Well, Ryback, to me, again, should be the winner of the Royal Rumble. I think he's taken enough damage this year. I definitely don't see The Rock and Cena. I think that idea is a very bad one, actually. I just think that that's just going to hurt the whole point of last year is completely. So, I don't know. I mean, it definitely is, I don't know. It's very tough to say. I would say Ryback, I think the smart option is Ryback versus Big Show. That's a smart match, you know, but if they go that way or not, we don't know, you know, so we have to kind of wait on that, but I definitely like the idea. I just don't think that the Shield is, that match, I don't think is a good idea. I just think that the Shield needs to start doing something different. They need to bury that soon because I think the Shield could do a lot more than just the Ryback interferences.
Yeah, I kind of wonder where they're going with it, though, because it's been going on.
It's been going somewhere.
Yeah, it's been going on since November, and they've been just getting in on Ryback for a long time. And when is he going to get his ultimate revenge on the Shield? And, you know, you could be on to something, Toph, man. You could be on to something where the blow-off could take place at WrestleMania, and the Shield can get, you know, a big mid-card match to really solidify them as future stars. And Ryback, too. You know, obviously, they're high in all three of these guys, and they're probably going to be a good nucleus for the future in WWE. But moving along with the show, I just want to – there's a lot to be said about what happened in 2012. It was kind of an up-down year in the wrestling business all across the board. You know, Ring of Honor had major issues with their iPay-per-views and with fan interest. It was pretty much at an all-time low for them. TNA, once again, was up and down. You know, the show was good for a long time. Then it kind of went down the shitter for a little bit when Aces and Eights, you know, kind of started to drag. And WWE was the same way, you know, up and down, up and down. I wonder if 2013 is going to be more consistent. So what do you expect from the wrestling business in general in 2013? Any predictions?
I can't really predict since the year just started. I got to kind of get a feel of what the wrestling promotion is going to go with, but we can always hope for the best, of course. I don't really have anything else ready to say, really. I can't. I think for WWE, I'm afraid that John Cena will probably win the WWE title one time at some point in the year. It will probably be his last reign, though. I don't really see any other champions in WWE. I just feel that John Cena will probably win it one more time. But if he does, it'll be his last reign. I think in TNA, we're finally going to get a Bully Ray title reign. I've been waiting for that, like, since 2010. I'm a big Bully Ray fan. And in Ring of Honor, I just hope they finally push Jay Lethal. That guy's really good.
Yeah, I agree, man. Jay Lethal's awesome. He's so underrated in every aspect, and he's so charismatic. They can't really seem to – he's been Jay Lethal, but they've always put these characters on him at different points in time when he was Black Machismo, even when he did the Ric Flair gimmick, which was one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen in my life. But right now he's just Jay Lethal, and he's been just Jay Lethal for a long time. I think he really needs, you know, a character, kind of like what Will was talking before about CM Punk. He needs something to really stand out above the rest of the crop in Ring of Honor, because when you look at those guys over there, you don't see too many dudes that you would possibly see on a WWE roster. That's just my opinion. I mean, Mike Bennett to me is one of them. Obviously, like Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas, they had their run. I think Rhett Titus could possibly see a future in WWE at some point down the line. But, you know, they've had just such major problems with their iPay-per-view business that they really need to kind of push forward and move to the next level in 2013, or else who knows, man. Sinclair Broadcasting might pull out of that deal and just say, screw you guys, it's all over for you. But, you know, yeah, 2013, it's up in the air. It's a tough question to answer. TLD, you see, what do you see happening in the wrestling business 2013? Any predictions?
A very strong beginning part I think they're going to have, just due to the fact that they're going to have a big, big show. So I definitely see that as a good thing for them. As far as the rest of the year goes, I think it all depends. WrestleMania does have a huge it's going to have huge implications on what's going to happen for the rest of the year. You know, I agree about John Cena. He had the worst year, but he also put over a lot of people, because John Cena is now of the WWE. He's no longer like the future anymore. We have a future starting to be built, you know, but John Cena can't always be the go-to guy, but I do see this year being it for him. I think he's going to take a lot of time off, and he deserves it, and we know that. So, you know, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be a good – it has to be a good year. Because right now, as you can see, the three-hour rolls aren't as big as they were hoping, I guess. You know, I don't know. They got to do a little bit more. They need to get that spark going again.
Well, the table is definitely set for there to be a big year for 2013, because – for the whole business. Because, like, whether you believe it or not, if WWE, if they succeed, if their shows get better and, you know, the road to WrestleMania is very good and very exciting, it's going to bring more, you know, fans into the business in general. And maybe these fans might see TNA and might recognize a guy like Kurt Angle, or might be interested in something like Aces and Eights. And they might be able to latch on over there too. So the business moves along with WWE. And I think if they can, I think that the main point, the crucial point for WWE is going to be after WrestleMania, when you know Brock's going to be gone. You know Brock Lesnar more than likely is going to be gone. You know Triple H more than likely is going to be gone, unless he somehow is an on-air character, whatever. They're going to lose at least three of their major players. The Undertaker, too. They might lose The Undertaker again. It's still not confirmed to be on the card, but Triple H said, "You have not seen the last of The Undertaker." So you just have to assume that he'll be back. But I think that is going to be a crucial moment in the wrestling business in general. And that should be the point where both WWE and TNA try to do their best possible work. I'm talking about mid-April, heading right into the summer. Because we all know 2012 with WWE after WrestleMania, they put on one of their best, I thought was their best show of the year. And so did the fans on the first episode of PWP TV. You thought WWE Extreme Rules was the best show of the year in wrestling. And if they can kind of do that again and then continue the momentum after that, the wheels kind of fell off the car, guys. After Extreme Rules, we had the Johnny Ace and John Cena storyline with the Big Show heel turn. And I guarantee you, ask anybody, and they're going to hate it. 9 out of 10 anyway. So that, to me, is a crucial point. I think John Cena will get another reign with the championship, whether it's the WWE belt or the World Heavyweight Championship. I think he'll then drop it, putting somebody else new over in the process, and take some time off. Like you said, TLD, he deserves it. No question about it. I think CM Punk is going to hold the belt until WrestleMania, where he drops it, and then be out of the title picture for a little bit. After that, I don't think he'll have another reign for a while. But, you know, having a reign for 500-plus days is going to be something miraculous. You know, we really haven't seen that in a very, very, very long time. And, I think it's an up year. On the TNA front, however, I want to talk a little bit about this. So I know you're a big fan, Toph. And they've been inconsistent. There's no denying that. You know, do a lot of people really believe that Aces and Eights is doing what it was intended to do? I don't really see knows when this storyline is going to really come to a head and start to, you know, turn the next corner, I guess. Toph, what's your prediction for Aces and Eights and what happens in 2013?
I'm not really sure about Aces and Eights. Aces and Eights is similar to the Black Scorpion from WCW. It definitely seems like something that they're booking along the way. I don't really think they have an idea of what the end game was for that. But I did enjoy the D-Von swerve. That was probably the swerve of the year for me in 2012. I did not see that coming at all. I was shocked. It seems for me, as far as TNA goes, in recent years, they tend to put out a better product during the summer, because before the Aces and Eights started, it was actually pretty good when they were doing the whole re-infrastructure of the X Division, where they basically turned the X Division title almost into a Money in the Bank cash-in. Like, if you're an X Division champion, you can trade it in return for a title shot, and they brought in all the X Division guys, and, you know, and when Austin Aries won the belt, it was good TV. I mean, it was good stuff, but it was like, when the Aces and Eights showed up, it just kind of devalued everything. They should definitely hurry up and put some progress into it. I don't know if it's Jarrett or if it's Bischoff. According to what reports say, it's supposed to end at lockdown, which is in April. So that's still like, what, another 3 months of this? And, you know, it's just kind of hard, because it's like, when you know who they are, you can get invested. But if you don't know who they are, why do you care, you know? So it's like, I'm not really too much of an Aces and Eights fan. I just think that factions in general, like the whole we're taking over the whole NWO thing, I just think that doesn't really work anymore.
Yeah, it's an angle that has been used and tried to be duplicated so many times, man.
Yeah.
I mean, most recently, I think was Nexus who kind of did this type of angle, and before Ace and Ace, obviously. But,
mm-hmm.
Man, you're right. They really need to get moving. We need to find out who is behind this angle. Like, what is the end game for it? I'm usually pretty good. I mean, we all are. We're usually pretty good at seeing where things are going, but I just do not see where this is going at all. They started losing matches, and before you know it, you know, it just took a downhill freaking turn, man. And TLD, what are your thoughts on Ace and Ace and where it goes in 2013?
Well, it's one of the slowest builds of stables I've ever seen in my life. You know, I think they should do a War Games type match at Lockdown. I think that's a great place to finally make it come full circle. At least I think that's where it should end up. But, you know, that's where it should end up. They have to have the end game here and what their plans are. We really don't know their agenda. They're just a hired group of guys trying to get into the Impact Zone. They never said they were taking over. They're just trying to get in there, and there is no motive behind it right now. I don't know what it is, because it's such a slow build. Right now, the first thing they got to do is unmask everybody, and then they got to get to the leader. So it's a long time build, and my God, the build for Sting coming back was so bad this week. I don't know if anybody saw it, but my God, he just walked out. He didn't know music, no darkness, nothing. Oh,
yeah, there wasn't even like a lightning strike type of noise thunder. There wasn't anything.
Hey, Jay, listen to something. Okay, you want to hear one thing?
Sure.
See, nothing.
Yeah.
That's my point. Nothing. It was so bad.
Yeah, it was one of those things that fell flat, and they made it so predictable because they were, you know, hyping that Sting was going to be back on this show, but yet he comes back at the very end of the show. He hadn't been back yet for that entire 2 hours, and then he's back at the end. Obviously, he's going to come out at the end because we haven't seen him yet. It just seemed too obvious to me. It could have been done a lot better. Hell, why not even fucking drop? I got to stop dropping F-bombs. That's a resolution. Sorry about that. Why not just drop him from the ceiling? You know what I mean? Do something like that, like old school type Sting. They dropped a bat from the ceiling and something that was also predictable. And yeah, they really dropped the ball on that. What'd you think about that, Toph, man? You think they did a good job with Sting?
That's the good thing and the bad thing about Sting. The good thing about Sting was he was just so over in the upper 90s with that Crow gimmick where he didn't talk for a year and the NWO was just scared of his shadow. But the bad thing about Sting is, like, pretty much ever since those days, he's really just kind of slowly, it's been very slow, it's been very subtle But he's just he's not been able to top that. That's like the difference between Sting and The Undertaker. It was like I'm a huge fan of Sting and I'm a huge fan of Taker. And I don't want to turn this into a Sting-Taker debate. But what I liked the most about Taker, it was like as the years went by, Taker would find ways to kind of still be kind of cool, you know? Like first he was wearing the gray gloves, then the purple gloves, then he was a biker, then he was Big Evil, then he came back and had an MMA style thing. Whereas it's like Sting, he had the crow thing, and it's like he can't really top that. I mean, he tried to do the Joker thing, and that was kind of hit or miss. Some people liked the Joker things, most hated it, but it was lackluster. But you got to understand at the same time that Sting's old. He's like over 50. And he's a born-again Christian, and some of the stuff that he did, like, you know, ascending from above, he doesn't want to do that anymore, especially after the whole Owen Hart thing as well. So, I mean, what can you really do?
That's true.
I think Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, man. Finish up.
I think considering what they did with Sting, since he just walked out, you know, normally like any other dude, I think that it would have been better off if they didn't hype it at all. Like, if he had just came out, you know, then it wouldn't have been as bad. Because then you wouldn't have known Sting was coming, you know what I mean?
Yeah, nobody would have expected it at all. And something that both companies do recently. I mean, when there's some kind of, like, return coming, Chris Jericho, they had those vignettes. They've been both trying to create some kind of mystique, like, whether it's dark, whether that's the word for it. I mean, they had the thing with The Undertaker where a lot of people thought it might have been Sting, where he was in the barn, it looked like, and there was rain falling, and it was just like those old Sting promos from the late 90s, but it ended up being The Undertaker because they couldn't seal up Sting for that WrestleMania. But they keep trying to do that over and over again, year by year. That seems to be a running trend in both companies. Is that the way to go? I don't really know. I mean, this time it kind of backfired on TNA, and the ratings even showed it. I mean, they popped a little bit, but the TNA ratings have been really, really lackluster lately. And I really hope they kind of turn around because, hey, I might seem like a TNA hater, but I only speak from where I see it. You know, I think they have so much potential, and they really need to do better in their marketing. They need to get those wrestlers and those superstars noticed by a broader audience. That's really all it comes down to. You got to make the average Joe know who the hell Bobby Roode is or who Austin Aries is. And going back to your point before, Toph, when you said that, you know, TNA was really good in the beginning of the summer, that's because you had Bobby Roode with the world title. You had Austin Aries with the X Division title. They were two guys who were just tearing it up in their divisions, and they were both defending, and they were both, you know, there were interesting title matches just about every week. But then when you combine those two, you know, you have them fight each other, Aries gets it. Now you don't have that guy in the X Division to kind of carry it like Austin Aries did. You tried to get Dima Ion over. It worked for just so long. Now they're trying with Rob Van Dam. We all know that RVD is same old since about 1999. But, hey, you know, I really hope they turn the corner and do something better for themselves in 2013. And that's where we are right now, folks, 2013. And the Royal Rumble is right around the corner. And I'd just like to announce that TLD and I are filming PWP TV episode number 2, and that should be taking place. Are we still out for Saturday, Will? Are we still going Saturday afternoon?
Oh, yeah, we're going Saturday strong.
All right, going strong Saturday. We're filming, and we're going to be talking about the Royal Rumble, years past and year present. But let's get into it a little bit right now. I want a prediction for the Royal Rumble winner. It's up in the air this year. Nobody knows. Just like last year, nobody really knew who was going to win. A lot of people thought it was going to be Jericho. It turned out to not be him, but I want to know who you think is going to win, TLD. Who do you think is going to win the Royal Rumble this year?
Well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but, you know, we do have a lot of surprise entrances in the Royal Rumble, and you never know where a TLD might be.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's a good run. You like that, right?
Yeah.
All right.
4-time tag team champion.
Could that music hit in the WWE? I don't know, man.
Oh, my God. The roof would go off. I mean, I don't even know if they're going to have it. I'm going worldwide, like all over all six continents.
What's your prediction? You got anything for me?
For my serious prediction, I like Ryback winning. I think I'm going to stick with my guns. I think Ryback's going to win. And I hope he's my pick on my number, because I know I win some money, too.
How about you, Toph? Who do you think is going to win the Royal Rumble this year?
My prediction is we're going to have a finish similar to 2008 and 2010, meaning that we're going to have the return of an off-the-grid star, someone that no one's even thinking about, a wild card that no one even considered, and he's going to come back and he's going to win. That's my prediction.
Who's it going to be?
Yeah, who's
it
going to
be?
Pick somebody.
It can be anybody. I think wild card everybody's forgetting is Brock Lesnar.
Gilbert.
I can definitely see it being Brock
Gilbert,
Lesnar.
Gilbert, ladies and gentlemen.
You think Brock Lesnar's going to win the Royal Rumble? You think he's going to be an entrant?
You make it seem as if the Royal Rumble actually matters, though. Anyone can win. I mean, all the Royal Rumble is now is just a match that guarantees you a spot in the opener for the World Heavyweight title. I mean, Mark Henry and Christian could win, for crying out loud. It doesn't matter. but seriously, though, seriously, I think it's probably going to be Brock Lesnar or maybe even Taker. I just think that a return is going to happen. It's going to be a return. It's not going to be someone that we think, because they're going to keep pushing these guys like Ryback and Orton and Cena, and it's going to make us forget about a return. I think we're going to get a return. Someone's going to come back and win. Because, that's just my prediction. I could be wrong, though.
No, of course. We could all be wrong. Everybody's got their prediction.
No, I'm not wrong.
Well, I don't think I am either. I'm going to stick with Ryback. I think he's not – I don't even just think he's a safe bet. I think if WWE is really going to get the machine behind this guy like they've been doing, he's been in high-profile matches, he's over. I don't care what you guys say out there. He is over. That chant, as stupid as it may be, gets the crowd into it, and that clothesline is pretty damn brutal. I mean, he destroyed CM Punk in defeat last night. He completely destroyed him. I mean, it was cool. I really dug the match. I thought it was good. I think he's been delivering, and I think Ryback is a safe bet to win. However, if he doesn't win, I always have a backup plan in mind, and I would have to go with Randy Orton as a number two guy to win because I know. I hate it, too. I hate it.
Why? What? He went against 3MB last night. Please tell me what possible prediction you could have predicted.
Well, hear me out. I think that they might be heading towards some kind of possible heel turn with Randy Orton. And I think that if he doesn't turn heel, they love him. He's over. Did you hear the crowd?
That's one violation away from losing his contract. The second
he popped up on the screen in that backstage interview, the crowd went crazy. The crowd is into Orton. I'm not a huge Orton fan at all, but WWE wants to get him back up there as a main player. He hasn't been for a long time. He's kind of just been wallowing around. I don't even know what his role's been. He had that feud with Alberto Del Rio that went on for what seemed like forever. You know, it just they haven't been doing anything meaningful with this guy, and I know they want to get him back on track. And that's that. So if Ryback
off the drugs.
He's got to get cleaned up, and I think hopefully he is, but for his sake anyway. But if Ryback's not the guy, I got to think that Randy Orton's going to be. I mean, you know, the rumor has it that Sheamus could win for a second straight year. I don't want to see that. What about you guys? You want to see Sheamus win again?
No.
No, I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's a top candidate this year. I think they're going to put him somewhere else. I see Randy Orton and Sheamus at WrestleMania. I honestly think that's the best spot. To turn Orton heel right there.
You know, it's funny you brought up Orton. There's actually some fans out there that are theorizing that it's going to be the Shield that's going to indirectly turn Orton heel.
Oh. I like that.
Yeah,
there's a video somewhere. There's a video somewhere on WWE's, I think it's called WWE Fan Nation, their YouTube account. What Raw was it? It was the Raw where Randy Orton fought the Brad Maddox dude. He beat him, and the Shield beat him down. And there was an interview, and they asked Orton how did he feel about the Shield attacking him. And Orton was pretty much like, whatever about it. And he talked about his evolution days and his legacy days, and he said he used to do that as well. So Orton's character didn't really seem to be that bothered by the Shield. So what some fans think is that by seeing the Shield constantly screw him over and attacking people, it's going to, you know, turn Orton into one of those, well, you know, when I was, you know, when I was a heel, I used to do this, but since I've acted this way and catered to fans, I don't win titles anymore. I don't win matches anymore. So some fans think that this Shield stuff is going to indirectly turn, you know, Orton heel. Like, say, for example, you have Ryback, Sheamus, and Orton against the Shield, and Orton just turns on them in mid-match for whatever reason. Some fans think that's going to happen to me. I think it's a little far-fetched, but I could see it.
I could see it happening, too. I mean, who knows if there's – they've been – it's kind of that people think CM Punk is behind them, is behind the Shield. And WWE, TNA, whoever, wrestling likes to swerve us in any way possible. Like you mentioned before with D.Va being involved with Aces and Eights, that was a huge swerve. Nobody saw that. I mean, I was completely shocked when that happened. What if Randy Orton somehow is behind – the Shield? What if he's the guy? What if his frustrations with what's been going on in WWE for so long, he hasn't been in the main event, a guy like Ryback has seemingly taken his spot when he was out with suspension or whatever it was. You know, what if he's the guy that's targeting Ryback? What if that's the next major feud for Ryback? If I really like brought that to my attention. I hadn't heard that yet, and it seems like it could be a possibility. I don't mind hearing that. What do you think, TLB?
I don't think that would make any sense, personally. I mean, it's an interesting idea, but he did get attacked by them, so you can't forget that in a way, because then it's like, because then you're going to be happy about it, but then you're going to be like, oh, well, that really didn't make sense because he got attacked. You know, so I really don't see that as an idea. I don't think that's going to work. I think that the Shield should just stay those three guys and maybe Brad Maddox and CM Punk, you know, obviously some kind of affiliation with that. But that should be it. I think Orton and Sheamus should be the match. That, to me, is the match that should they should go with. And at some point, Orton and Ryback could eventually get in the way of each other. But Sheamus is going to be out of title picture for a little bit. I think he had his title run. I thought it was very good. He put on some great matches. He never failed to disappoint as far as matches is concerned. So, you know, I think that's where they're going to go.
Yeah, man. You know, Sheamus, here's the thing about Sheamus. In the ring.
Here we go.
Well, in the ring, he's improved. I mean, his in-ring ability has improved over the course of his title reign. And I attribute that to wrestling guys like Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, on a regular basis. I mean, Chris Jericho as well. He has some good matches with Chris Jericho. And
don't forget Christian.
Oh, Christian. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, Christian too. I mean, Christian. Anyway, but these guys helped Sheamus along the way to become a better worker overall. His match with Triple H, too, whatever. But I just don't like this goofy kind of gimmick he's got where he always has it. Like, who else – were you guys perplexed at all last night watching Raw when he had that little backstage segment with 3MB? Like, that was just weird. That was weird. That had no – there was no point to that whatsoever. It was just Sheamus embarrassing these guys just to embarrass them. And it seems like
you can
go ahead.
You can tell he's very uncomfortable with babyface promos. He was a lot more comfortable as a heel. I remember back in when he was feuding with Alberto Del Rio when they had that whole bro kick angle going on when they were trying to ban it. Do you remember the segment where it was like him, Ricardo, and David Otunga? It was like a lawyer or something trying to sue. And it was like every time Sheamus talked, he would do the same mannerism. He would smile, and he would, like, roughly tap someone. And there was another promo he did with Cena where they were talking about AJ, and it was like every single time he talked, he would do, like, a little tap to Cena and laugh. Like, it's almost like it's rehearsed. Like, he's trying to convince himself to do it. You can just tell he's not very comfortable under the babyface role. And, yeah, I agree with you. As a wrestler, he's improved, but as a character, I mean, he's really worse than Cena. Like, I'm actually – because what I like about Cena is his jokes are bad, but sometimes when he tells a bad joke, he laughs at it. So he's at least acknowledging the fact that his character is corny, so it's like we're laughing with him, whereas Sheamus, it's just corny, and it's like – it's really like eye-rolling, turn-the-station corny, like, ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. I always wonder who he's yelling fella to at the end and the beginning of his matches. Like, he just yells fella as loud as he can. And I just don't really understand that. Like, what is the meaning of that? Like, okay, fella. We all know fella is supposed to be a man. Who's fella? Who the hell is he yelling at? I just don't I don't get the character, the direction of the character at all. There's so much comedy on Raw, SmackDown from a week-to-week basis. You got, I'd say Brodus Clay is comedy. Santino Morello is comedy. John Cena is definitely comedy. And do you really need Sheamus to be comedy too? And I'm probably missing some. R-Truth, I'm missing R-Truth. R-Truth is comedy. You know, all these guys are comedy characters. Why is there so much comedy? Here's a great question, TLD. I'll give this to you first. Does funny actually equal money? I've listened to Colt Cabana talk about this all the time because that's why he's no longer in ROH. Jim Cornette told him, funny doesn't equal money. He's not in WWE anymore. What did Johnny Ace tell him? Funny doesn't equal money. You know, what are your thoughts on that in WWE? It seems like they're doing a lot of funny stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's those comedy characters you always need. You always have those, like, bushwhacker-type characters going to clowns. And those are the kind of characters that, you know, yeah, we do use the funny, you know, one match tops, you know. I mean, there's got to be one match that you could say was, okay, I found that funny. It was, you know, that's a comedy, you know, the comedy side part of a wrestling show. You know, you need at least one. But Sheamus is a world heavyweight champion. And, you know, that's the kind of guy to me that doesn't, as much of a badass as he was built up to be, you know, he doesn't come off as a badass anymore. In fact, when he's serious, I love it when he's serious, and same thing with John Cena, but I don't like it when he's comedy. He's not, to me, that character is not supposed to be comedic, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my feeling on it. I did not like even Randy Orton's interaction with him last night. I just don't like their interaction at all. I think that it should have been like a hard-hitting match. It should have been 3-on-1 against both guys. I think that would have been better. You know,
yeah.
So I think that would have been a much better idea because now Orton and Sheamus could kind of go against each other on who's the better man. I could be 3MB. No, I could be 3MB. You know, something like that to show they're a better man, you know, than the other. I think that's what they should go with. You know, between those two guys. They do the exact same kind of matches. They'll do like a gauntlet match. They face two guys apiece. They beat them both. And then eventually one's got to get over the other. So that's how I think it should be.
Go ahead, Topher. You had something to say? What do you got to say about that?
Well, you know, Jay, one thing about the comedy that I really love about the Attitude Era, I love the Attitude Era, but I think fans overrate it for what it was most known for. People talk about The Rocks, the Stone Colds, and all that. But what I love the most about Attitude Era was the Attitude Era actually had, like, cult comedy. Like, you knew it was popular because I remember going to school, just going to random places across the country, and I would see people doing The Worm. Remember Scotty Too Hottie and all the crazy stuff that Too Cool used to do? Remember Kai and Tai, where they used to be like, indeed. I remember people used to just quote Kai and Tai for no reason. You remember Crash Holly with the hardcore belts? I remember I would see people walking around with scales imitating Crash Holly. Like, that was the comedy they had back then was comedy that was actually over. Fans enjoyed it, and it was reflecting with the cults. You know, you would see fans outside of wrestling just doing stuff. But it's like today's comedy, it's not really working. Like, R-Truth's Little Jimmy gimmick, when it first started off in 2011 when he did the whole heel thing, it was working. But then they kind of turned it into a kid-friendly, imaginary friend, Barney the Dinosaur kind of thing. And you see a few Little Jimmy shirts, but, like, is it really over? I mean, Santino's Cobra is over with the kids, but, I mean, nothing really too beneficial. And pretty much everything you said about Sheamus, I mean, he's a former world heavyweight champion, a United States champion, a two-time WWE champion, and here he is doing all this goofy stuff. You can't really take him seriously. And, you know, one thing I think about Sheamus, I think that Sheamus is in the wrong era. I think he would have fit in perfectly in the Attitude Era. And the reason I say that is because his gimmick is he's Irish and he likes to fight. And I think it would be cool because I could totally see Sheamus being a member of the APA. It would have worked.
Yeah, you're right. It would have worked. That's a pretty good point there. And I was just thinking about this. There's more comedy I didn't even mention. Like, this ongoing angle with the Great Khali and Hornswoggle, they are on Raw and SmackDown every single week, and that's comedy. So we just thought of, like, 5-6 things that are on WWE TV each and every week that is just blatant comedy. Even The Miz TV, that's toilet comedy humor all the time, too. So it's like, does funny equal money? You know, are they contradicting themselves? I believe Colt Cabana when he says he was told funny doesn't equal money. And he is the type of guy who's legitimately funny. I mean, he's a self-made guy making a lot of money doing his podcast, which I urge anybody to listen to who's listening out there. Definitely check out Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast on iTunes. I support it fully. It's fantastic. But anyway, this is a guy who deserves a spot in TNA. TNA said they don't have any room for a funny guy like Colt Cabana. I think TNA could use him. I think TNA could put him out there, and it would be a great bit of comic relief. They don't have a lot of funny like WWE does. And, you know, the guy, he's underrated. But anyway, funny, does funny equal money? I don't know. I guess WWE is succeeding, so I guess it does in some aspects. But
One thing I could relate to that, because doing some pro wrestling shows, you know, my tag team was, in a way, a comedy act. You know, we had about, like, one or two guys that are considered comedy guys, you know, on our show, and on BrooklynFloor.com, by the way. And, you know, it's a comedy relief, you know, show. Like, me and this one of the character are the comedy relief, but we don't make it a whole show of comedy, you know. Especially independent shows, it's fun to have one match that's a funny relief, and that's where I feel like I would fit in better. I don't look like a tough guy, and I don't look like a guy. You know, if I don't look the part of a badass, then I shouldn't be playing a badass, you know? You know, and it's different with, like, someone like the Great Khali, because he's got, like, the dancing routine, but he's a huge mark in India, which is a big market for them. And the Khali showed a video on WWE's Main Event on how big he is over there, you know. But here, he doesn't need to be a dominant guy because, you know, that's not his role. His role is to be a big dude, and that showing the power of these younger athletes like Antonio Cesaro, getting them over. And I totally agree with that comment. I don't think comedy means everything. I mean, D-Generation X was in the Attitude Era. They were the comedy relief of the show back then. And there wasn't too many of those. There was, like, those little ones like Crash Holly and some other ones. But back in the Attitude Era, everyone was digging everything. Today, there's, like, two different audiences now, you know, where it's, like, one audience is about the serious stuff and one's about the kid stuff.
Well, even back then, a lot of that comedy came through characters. Like, it was funny when Val Venus would say, "Hello, ladies," you know, and he would have
everyone loved the entrance to that.
Yeah, it was funny when the Godfather would say, "Get aboard the hoe train," and come out with the hose. Those were, you know, characters, straight up characters that were, you know, playing a gimmick, and they were putting the funny into their gimmick. Even Crash Holly, like you said, was really funny, and his gimmick was fantastic. That was a great gimmick. But really, what is Sheamus' gimmick? He's an Irish guy that likes to fight people, so we're going to make him funny? You know, what is Santino Morella's gimmick? He's just a goofy guy, walks around with a cobra, but his name's Santino Morella. What exactly is he? What exactly is Great Khali? They don't really have, like, a character. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're just these guys that they're trying to make funny, and it comes off more tacky than anything, I believe.
I think Team Hell No are the only guys on the roster that I absolutely legitimately find funny. I'll laugh my ass off of them every week.
Yeah, there you go. There's
and that's because they were put into circumstances that made them turn that way, because they did, you know, and that's what the whole Dr. Shelby thing, that's what got them to be funny. They did those funny skits. It developed that relationship, that odd relationship between the two guys. You know, because you normally would not see a guy like a big red monster like Kane argue with a little small goat face guy named Daniel Bryan. It just doesn't make sense, but it's funny to watch because they just don't get along. These guys should not get along, and that's how it should be, and that's what gets it over. It's just that one just sparked, you know, based on two different characters who just they're not supposed to be together, and they are.
Yeah, that was funny unintentionally, and they've done a great job in executing it. But I love when, you know, like last night, for instance, with The Rock and CM Park, it was funny, but it was also extremely serious, and you felt how serious it was. You felt that there was personal animosity between the two, but you don't get that with some of the other characters on the roster. Of course, you kind of had that with Big Show and Sheamus, but you don't get that out of the Great Khali or Santino Morella or R-Truth. You don't feel like there's any kind of personal conflict that leads to this, like, funny thing that goes on, you know, whatever kind of comic relief. I just feel like when you break it down, when we just put this conversation into perspective, there's too much comedy on Raw. There's way too much. On SmackDown, there's practically an entire episode of comedy. And some of it is just so blatantly stupid. Like, let's talk about a couple weeks ago, because we haven't been on the air in a few weeks. Let's talk about Mae Young giving birth to Hornswoggle. Like, that's not the type of comedy that gets over. You know what I mean? What does that accomplish? Absolutely nothing. What about John Cena in the same episode? John Cena dropping feces on Dolph Ziggler and AJ. First of all, we've seen it before. Second of all, how is that even, like, relevant to anything that's going on with the storyline? You know, I believe that comedy can equal – I mean, funny can equal money in certain aspects where you have the right character and you have the right guy, and that's his gimmick and what he does. But, you know, I'm thinking about it more and more now as we go on, that I don't think it's the right move, you know?
I think when comedy is used a certain way, it can be the right move. What concerns me the most about WWE's comedy is that in recent years, the Royal Rumble has been kind of 50-50, like 50% of it is action and the other 50% is comedy. Like, you know, I do think there should always be an occasional comedy spot in the Rumble. Like, one of my personal favorite ones, I think it was Royal Rumble 2005, where Muhammad Hassan came out and, like, everyone just temporarily held a truce and they all just eliminated him. Like, that was funny. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
But, like, last year it was, like, Mick Foley and Santino had Cobra versus Mr. Sacco, and that, like, went on for so long. And then you had Ricardo Rodriguez at the same time, and then you had Cole Booker and Jerry Lawler, and you had Cole running from Karma. I mean, there was, like, at least 25-plus minutes of comedy in the Royal Rumble, and I'm like, I understand it's the Rumble and there's got to be comedy, but it just got to the point where, like, last year, it felt like the Rumble didn't really get started till like number 17, because at that point, all the comedic aspects were, you know, finished, and it was just all the serious guys were left. But yeah, you know, too much comedy.
Yeah, it was overkill. It was overkill, if you ask me. And that's something WWE definitely.
Oh, we all laughed at it, though. Come on, you didn't enjoy any of those moments?
No,
I did.
I enjoyed them. I thought they were funny, but it was definitely overkill. No question about it. It was too much. You know,
yeah, it was like.
I really didn't see it that way because I just thought you know. I mean, every year they do put some comedy into the Royal Rumble, and they should because the whole show is pretty serious until the Rumble, you know. So, and this year the Rumble is probably not even going to go last, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I think that those comedy spots are needed. Did they have too many last year? Well, I liked last year's Rumble. I thought the Rumble match itself. I liked because of. There was so much the surprises we got, and the finish I thought was really good. So, you know, some people said it felt flat last year. I don't know. I mean, we could discuss that on the show, on PWC TV, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, we will do that. But real quick, I got my man Seth on the line, who is our host of Oh You Didn't Know, which is featured on a variety of websites, including WrestleZone.com. NoDQ.com, and a lot more for his great interview with TNA British Bootcamp stars, The Block and Twins. Seth, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're winding it down. We got a few minutes left in the show. What's going on with you tonight, my man?
I've been listening to the show, and I decided to call in when you guys were talking about the comedy, the ridiculousness that is the comedy that's on WWE these days. And I cannot stand Great Khali and Hornswoggle and 3MB. To me, those two groups are such a waste. I do like Heath Slater. I think that if he kept the one-man band gimmick to himself, it probably would have worked out pretty well. I liked what he did leading up to Raw 1000. I like the, you know, jobber, you know, typical jobber that we have in WWE. You know, we need that guy, and he did a great job, but Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre do not belong in that group, and Great Khali cannot wrestle or talk, so I don't know what his purpose in WWE is. And Hornswoggle, I don't know why they're even there.
Yeah, you just mentioned somebody that we didn't even mention before. We didn't even mention 3MB. So that's another comedy segment. There's just too much effing comedy.
No, that's good stuff. That's good
yeah,
stuff,
it could
actually.
Be good,
think, yeah.
But do we need it all?
Good.
Do we need it all? Like,
yeah.
Do we need every single one of these guys to be a comedic character? No, absolutely not. I think they need to tone it down big time if they want people to continue to spend their money. Because, you know, money, I guess, equals money sometimes. But in this aspect, I don't know.
The kind of comedy that I thought was good was, like, Santino Marella. Like, I don't think that he should be, you know, pushed to be a very successful superstar. But, like, his comedy at the Slammy Awards with Tenzai was great. And I do really think that Santino is funny, but they need to focus more on comedy like what The Rock does. You know, his comedy is just pure gold, and it sounds like he's just coming up with it on his own. I'm sure he's not, or I'm sure that he's not, he's, you know, coming up with it in advance, but still, it seems so natural and just hilarious. And it's not like this cheap, kiddie kind of humor that is forced.
And that's the problem right there, Seth, because a lot of these comedic segments that we're talking about are backstage pre-tapes or backstage, like, live segments or whatever, where these guys are literally reading off cue cards. Like, if you watch closely sometimes at these promos, they're reading off cue cards blatantly.
Yeah.
Just the way the angle is. You can probably tell me this, Will, because you're into the video production and stuff. Can you see that taking place? Can you see that these guys are talking off cue cards? Will?
Oh, I'm sorry. It depends on the person. Like, I don't think Miz reads off cue cards. I don't think he does. I mean, what wrestler do you notice that? Because I'm not too – it's very hard to see a cue card come in the ring, okay, first off. So I don't think – if anything, they might have something in their ear, but I don't think they have anything.
I'm talking backstage. I'm talking backstage. Like,
oh, backstage. I'm sorry. I think you're talking outside the ring. I apologize.
Yeah. Backstage.
Do I think they are? They have a director, I'm sure, guiding them to what points they have to make. I think they could do some improvising on their own. I think they're supposed to be trained to improv on their own. But I'm sure they are given some certain things to say, like, you know, in 2 weeks at the Royal Rumble, you know, something like that. You know, something as simple as that. But I think a lot of it's improv. It depends on the person. You know, I don't think CM Punk has – I think he improvs most of it. The Rock, you know, The Miz.
Well, we're about to get out of here in a minute. Seth, you want to give a plug for your show tomorrow night real quick?
Sure. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, I'm going to have a special guest, Max from Wrestling with Subtitles. He's going to come on and talk to us about his great cause that he's been doing. And I know John JCD is going to have a lot of rumors and news to discuss with us.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely tune into that. I'm all for Max's cause. I signed a petition. I follow him on Twitter. Wrestling with Subtitles is a great thing. And, yeah, thanks for calling us tonight, Seth. We'll
absolutely.
Be sure to listen tomorrow night, my man. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
You too, brother. And how about you, Toph? Got anything to talk about before we head out of here? Got any plugs or anything?
No, no plugs. Thanks for letting me on the show, guys.
You got it, Toph. Thanks for being with us tonight. But, Will, we're filming this weekend, and I got to let everybody know that Pro Wrestling Powerhouse TV episode number one is on YouTube. Go to PW Powerhouse TV on YouTube and check it out. It's our 2012 year-end award edition. It was very good. It's gotten great feedback from around the community. So definitely a great episode of that. And please download the show on iTunes. Go over to iTunes, check it out. All you got to do is one simple click. Download it. It will go to your iTunes each and every week automatically to watch it listen to it whenever you want. Will, you got any last words before we get out of here, man?
Yeah, and also you can do it on your smartphones as well because there is an app you can download, the podcast app. Just look us up there. And make sure you definitely go to my wrestling website at brookwoodford.com. You can see my shows up there that I'm performing. And, of course, you just have to go to tldwrestling.com because Valentine's Day is only 2 months away.
Yeah, you need to get that TLD teddy bear. But for TLD, I'm Jersey Strong Jay. Next week on the show, we have budding, rising, beautiful, vivacious wrestling superstar Miss Diva will be with us. If you want to check out her pictures, go to us on Facebook. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. She is smoking hot. She will be our special guest We're going to talk to her about her career. She's a second-generation wrestler, and we're going to talk to her about what she's got going on. She's also an MTV star, by the way. So we got a lot to talk about with her. And in 2 weeks, none other than the prodigy Mike Bennett will be with us right here live. Ring of Honor superstar Mike Bennett will be on the show. So make sure you set your calendars for TLD. I'm Jersey Strong J. Keep it real, everybody.